Book of 3 John. I close my eyes right now. You know what I see? Snow. I've been looking at it since 8 o'clock this morning. I was sitting down there and I still saw it falling in front of my eyes. I've been looking at stuff so much this morning, I still see it. This stuff reminds me of when I was a kid.
Oh, you want to know what I think that I see?
Yeah, that's what we have when we have them. Yeah, my dad standing next to a man is twice as tall as my dad. You know, he's 6'2". We had a lot of that stuff too, boy. So this is just the beginning of what I remember when I was a kid. I was wondering if you folks knew what snow was up here. Starting to look like Michigan now. Yeah, I guess it's been easy on everybody in the last few years, even in Michigan, I guess. Just not. They just don't make winters like they used to. Well, look in 3 John. We'll begin with verse 1. 3 John, verse 1. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I'll remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask once again, you'll bless now this Bible study this morning as we look into the book of 3 John. I pray you'll give us wisdom and understanding from these things. Bless our time now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're making it to the third of the epistles of John. And of course, this was written by John, and he wrote it and addressed it to a fellow by the name of Gaius. Look in John, 3 John, verse 1. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. So John writes this one to a fellow by the name of Gaius. He also mentions two other fellows' names in this letter, in this epistle. The first one, of course, is Gaius, who he addressed this letter to. But in verse 9, you see the second fellow's name. It says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes. That's the second fellow mentioned here in this epistle. And then in verse 12, Demetrius. And that's the third fellow that's mentioned now in this epistle. So John writes now his third epistle to Gaius, but he also mentions a fellow by the name of Diotrephes and a fellow by the name of Demetrius. And each of these are named and mentioned in this epistle. Each of these were members of a church during the day of John. For instance, in verse 6 says, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church. In verse 9 he says, I wrote unto the church. And then in verse 10 he says, doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. And so you see, he wrote this to a church, basically, or to one of the main members of the church, a fellow by the name of Gaius. He writes in this and tells about a fellow by the name of Diotrephes, who had rejected John's letters and his apostolic authority. So basically, here's what 3 John is. It's a letter written by John to a member of a local church. In this local church, there are at least three fellows that are named, a fellow by the name of Gaius, a fellow by the name of Diotrephes, and a fellow by the name of Demetrius. He writes to Gaius, one of the leaders of the church, and says, I want to warn you now of the dangers of this fellow, Diotrephes. He has not received my letters. He's not received my apostolic authority. He's caused problems in the church. And so let me warn you of the dangers of this man. So basically, here's how we're going to outline the book then. We will outline the book of 3 John around these three men: Gaius, Diotrephes, and Demetrius. And basically, we can get a good type or a character, some characteristics of three types of church members from this small letter. By the way, this is the smallest letter in the Greek. It has more verses than 2 John, but it has less words in the Greek than 2 John. And it's the shortest of the epistles in the Greek. Yet we find some tremendous truths about three types of church members. And by the way, basically, you can find these types of church members in just about any Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. You can find these kinds, these types of church members. So let's go through and look at the characteristics of each of these three men. We'll look at, first of all, Gaius. Then we'll look at the characteristics of Diotrephes. Then we'll look at Demetrius. First of all, in verses 1 through 8, Gaius, the man to whom this letter, this epistle, was addressed. Verse 1, it says, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Now notice, one of the words that's used about Gaius, in verse 1, he tells him, I love in the truth. In verse 3, for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Verse 4, he says, my children, walk in truth. Verse 8, he says, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Five times he uses this word truth about this one man, Gaius. The first thing, or first characteristic I want you to notice about this man is, he was faithful to the truth. Faithful to the truth. By the way, Gaius is one of the church members you want to have. Gaius is a fellow in the church that says, I'm going to stay faithful to the truth. I'm going to just stick with the truth. Of course, what is the truth? The truth is the Word of God. Thy Word is truth. He was faithful to the truth, or faithful to the Word of God. If there's one thing that we need in our churches today, we need faithfulness to this blessed book right here. We need to be faithful to the Word of God. We don't need to be faithful to our feelings. We need to be faithful to the Word of God. And the Word of God is truth. And here's a fellow in the church by the name of Gaius. And John writes and says, Gaius, you've been faithful to the truth. Faithful to the Word of God. One thing we need in our churches today are those that are faithful to stand with the truth of the Word of God. Look in verse 2. Here's a second characteristic now of this man, Gaius. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Isn't that interesting? He said, now Gaius, I wish that your physical health would prosper just like your spiritual health is. That's what he's saying to him. In other words, he's saying Gaius is spiritual. He's a spiritual man. He's saying, I wish physical health upon you to compare with your spiritual health. Now, isn't that kind of just the opposite of what Christians live today? You know what we're more interested in today? We're more interested in the physical than we are of the spiritual. People today are more interested in the body than they are in the soul. And if people in America today, in the land today, would spend as much time taking care of their soul as I do taking care of their body, we'd have a much better place to live. Here's a fellow that John writes to him and says, you're in good spiritual health. You got good spiritual health. And I wish you prosperity physically to compare to your spiritual health. Today, man, we wouldn't miss our three meals a day, would we? We'd miss feeding our soul. We'd miss reading our Bible. We'd miss going to church. We'd miss praying. We'd miss soul winning. We'd miss serving God. We wouldn't miss food feeding our body. We take more care of our body than we do of our soul. The truth of the matter is, if we spend as much time on our soul as we do on our body, we'd be in much better shape. And this country would be in better shape also. Wouldn't that be a good testimony to somebody to say, I wish you physical health to compare to your spiritual health. I wish you physical prosperity to compare to your spiritual prosperity. I wish you to prosper physically as much as you're prospering right now spiritually. I wish you prosperity to your body as much as you have prosperity in your soul. And here's a man that's put his soul first. And so I'm going to spend some time taking care of my soul. Taking care. Remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, fear not him who can destroy your body. Fear not him. Fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. So you're better off cutting off your arm and going to heaven and living with two arms and going to hell. You're better off taking care of things spiritually rather than physically. The first thing then, he was faithful to the truth. Secondly, he was spiritual. His soul prospered. Look in verse 3. Here's the third thing. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee. Now notice, now he has some folks coming to him and saying, boy, Gaius is a good Christian. Gaius has the truth in him. By the way, this word came here, the tenth says it was more than one time. They kept coming. John kept getting reports about Gaius. Some of the brethren would come and say, that Gaius, man, he's on fire. He's a good church member. He's a good fellow. He's a blessing. And he got good reports on Gaius. Wouldn't that be a blessing? I like getting good. The truth of the matter is, sometimes I get a little shaky when somebody mentions somebody from the church sometimes. Somebody comes up and says, is so-and-so a member of your church? I'm wondering what they're going to say. I don't want to tell them right away. Well, you tell me about what you're going to say, and I'll tell you whether they're a member or not. John, Gaius was one of those fellas. When they came up and said, did you hear about Gaius? John said, yeah, go ahead and tell me. I'm not worried what you're going to say about Gaius. He's going to get a good report. The brethren kept coming and giving good reports. Sometimes they come up and say, Pastor, is so-and-so a member of your church? Well, you tell me what you're going to tell me. And I'll tell you whether they're a member. And if they are, they may not be tomorrow. And so he got good report. First, thirdly, he had a good testimony. A good testimony. By the way, that's what we ought to have. We ought to have a good testimony. If anybody ought to have a good testimony in Fulton, it ought to be the members of the Great Bible Baptist Church. It ought to be the members of a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. We ought to have the best testimony of anybody in town. If we got the truth, we ought to live right. We ought to live the truth. We ought to have a good testimony by the way we live. And Gaius was the kind of church member who people came and brought good reports of him. And the brethren came and testified of him. Good report that he was in the truth. Fourthly, look in verse 3 again. It says, and testified of the truth that is in thee. So he had a good testimony. But also notice that his testimony was that he had the truth in him. We could say it this way. He believed the truth. He believed the truth. The truth was accepted by him. It was in him. It just wasn't around him. He had received it into his own. Received it for himself. It was in him. The truth was in him. Many people know the truth that Jesus Christ died for them. Many people know that truth. Many people know that Jesus is the only way to heaven. They know that truth. But they must receive that truth in them to have salvation. That's what they have in them, or what they have believed on. Believing is receiving the truth inside. So the fourth thing I want you to notice is about this fellow like Gaius in the church. He believed the truth that was in him. By the way, every one of us ought to believe the truth. What that simply means is, that means I believe this book right here. From the front of it, all the way to the back of it. Just believe the truth. I may not know it all, but when I find it out, I'm going to believe it. It's all true. It's all the Word of God. This is what God Himself has spoken to us from heaven. It's His Word. And what we simply need to do is just believe His Word. Believe the truth of this blessed book right here. So he believed the truth. Look also in verse 3. And testify to the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Now that's a test right there of what you believe. A person that believes the truth will live the truth. That's the next characteristic of Gaius. He lived the truth. He walked in the truth. For instance, if I say, I believe church is important. If I say I believe church is important, and I don't go to church, then do I really believe it? I don't. What I believe is shown by what I do. If I'm walking in the truth, that shows that I believe the truth. Now here, God
God sees my heart. Man can't see my heart. God does. God knows whether I believe the truth by looking inside of me. You can't see inside of me. You know how you know what I believe? By watching what I do. That's how you can tell what this preacher believes. Watch what I do. Not what I say. Watch what I do. That shows you what I believe. Now, I can say I believe this Bible, but if I don't live this Bible, then I'm not believing it. What I do shows what I believe. God knows what I believe. He sees my heart. You know what I believe by what I do, outwardly. We have to live for God, but we ought to live a good testimony for man also. We ought to believe this blessed book right here, but we ought to show what we believe by the way we live. That's the kind of church member Gaius was. Let's review very quickly. He was faithful to the truth. 5 times John used the word truth in comparison to this man. Secondly, he was a spiritual man. His soul prospered. And John says, I wish your body to prosper physically like your soul was prospering. Most of us are the other way around. Everybody has to come to us and say, I wish your soul was prospering like your body is. I wish you were spiritually in tune as much as you are physically. And John said, I wish your body, I wish you prosperity physically to compare with your prosperity spiritually. Thirdly, he had a good testimony. Fourthly, he believed the truth. And fifthly, he lived the truth. Now look in verse 4. Here's the next thing then. Verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. The next thing is, he was a joy to John. He brought joy to John. John, one of his spiritual leaders, heard word of Gaius that he was walking the truth. You know what John did? John rejoiced. John said, glory to God. Hallelujah. There's one of the church members just growing in God's grace, walking in the truth. That's a blessing. You know what the greatest joy probably to a pastor is? Is to see people in the church, see people getting saved, and then watching them grow spiritually, and watching them walk in the truth. What greater joy is that than to see your converts growing and walking in the truth? What a great joy. It was a great joy to John to see those in the church, or a fellow by the name of Gaius, who lived the truth. He walked in the truth. He got good reports back about Gaius. And here's one of the church members that he'd been there. He'd preached in the church. He'd seen the people. He'd talked with them, walked with them. He gets reports back now as he's away from them, hearing Gaius is walking in the truth. What a blessing it is to hear those that are members of your church and get reports back. So-and-so, walk in the truth. What a blessing. So-and-so, get a report. Somebody comes up and says, is so-and-so a member of your church? And then they say, you know, that person is a sweet person, or that person's a good person. Well, that person's a godly person. Oh, that's a blessing. Then you feel good. First you say, well, I don't know, tell me first. Well, then after they tell you get a good report, then they say, yes, they're a member of my church. Yes. And it's good. It's a blessing and it's a joy. And Gaius brought joy to a spiritual leader, John, that he was walking in the truth. Now look in verse 5. Here's the next thing. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. The next thing, he was faithful. He was faithful. That's a blessing. We all don't have the same talents that Gaius had. But we can all be as faithful as Gaius was. I may not be able to do all the things that Gaius could do, but I can be just as faithful as Gaius was. That's the blessing of it. I can be just as faithful. I can be as faithful as the most faithful man that ever lived. And every one of us can be too. That's one thing that everybody can be. They can be faithful. You can do it. I may not be able to do everything Gaius did, but I can read my Bible every day. I can do that. I may not have the talents that Gaius had, but I can pray every day. So can you. I may not be able to do everything Gaius did, but I can go to church regular. I may not be everything that Gaius was, but I can go soul winning regularly. I can tell people about Jesus every week. I can be faithful. I may not be able to be what Gaius was, but I can give what God has prospered me with. I can be faithful. And that's one thing that everybody can be. Everybody can be faithful. Gaius was faithful. Look at the next thing in verse 5. Beloved, that thou doest faithfully
whatsoever thou doest to the brethren. The next thing was, he treated other church members properly. He treated the other church members properly. Gaius was there, and when Gaius walked in, everybody didn't run. They weren't afraid to ask Gaius, how you doing? Some folks, man, how you doing today? Well, I'd be doing okay if it wasn't for this, 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 and this, and this. And Gaius, he treated them properly. Even if somebody was having a hard time, Gaius, man, he'd come up and try to treat them good, try to take care of them. He was a good church member. He treated others properly. He took care of them. He promoted unity within the church. He didn't go in there and try to cause problems in the church. If Gaius was around and there were problems, Gaius tried to be a peacemaker. Gaius tried to take care of the problems in the church. He didn't try to cause any problems. He tried to unify the church, tried to bring the church together, tried to edify. The word edify means to build up. Try to build them up. Try to just chop them down, cut them down, try to teach them, build them, build character in their lives. And that's what they needed. They needed somebody in the church, like Gaius, who would bring unity in the church, bring character, edification in the church, build the people properly, build them strong. That's the kind of church member that Gaius was. Look in verse 5 also. Thou doest to brethren and to strangers. Not only was he good to the church members, but he was good to those that visited the church also. He was friendly to the visitors. He took care of the visitors. He was hospitable to the visitors. By the way, we ought to be a friendly church. If anybody ought to be friendly, it ought to be those that know the truth. The Bible says we're to love one another. If we know how to get folks saved, bless God, what a great love that is there in the world than loving somebody's soul to get them to heaven. If we say we're soul winners, we're going to try to get folks out of hell and try to get folks into heaven, bless God, we ought to be friendly. We get new folks into our church, man, we ought to be friendly to them. Get to know them. You see a new face in this place, man, run up there, shake their hand, get to know them. Get to know the visitors in the church. Welcome the visitors. Be hospitable. That's the kind of fellow Gaius was. By the way, I appreciate the folks in our church that are friendly folks to visitors. And some folks, man, they know every visitor that comes in. They go up and meet them, get to know them. And you ought to be friendly and hospitable to the visitors of our services, to our church. That's the kind of guy that Gaius was. He was friendly. He was treated the church members properly. He was hospitable to the visitors, to the strangers. Visitors that came into the church. We have visitors come all the time. We ought to be friendly to them. We ought to greet them. We ought to be kind to them. We ought to welcome them back. They ought to see that this is a church that has the truth. Here's a church that wants to live the truth. Here's a church that has joy that God can give. Bless God, we could live in the muddy grubs all the time. You go outside, and this morning look outside and saw a foot of snow there, still coming down. We got the muddy grubs and say, bless God. Look at that stuff, man. Man, we'll shut the church down today. Just get out, man, and start shoveling. Get out and get to work. Just go. Molly Grubb, my wife, she gets up and she says, man, look how beautiful that is. Now, I didn't do that. Oh, that's pretty. Well, look how beautiful that is. She said 3 or 4 times. And I didn't get up and say how beautiful it was. I looked out there and said, well, bless the Lord, here it is. And we'll just keep on going. What can you do, amen? Just plow through it. And Lori did the same thing. She walked in and said, at least it's pretty. And she's been talking to my wife or something. I don't know. She didn't have to go out there and shovel this stuff. Well, you weren't saying it was beautiful this morning, were you? He was out there plowing this place out this morning. And so it was, you know, I'm plowing, it's not so beautiful. And I still see that stuff fall. I still see it. It's been an hour since I've been here. I still see it coming down. But he was hospitable, friendly to the visitors. Then look in verse 6 again. Which have borne witness of thy charity before the church. Next thing, he helped others, was charitable to others. He was a help to them. Whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth thinking nothing of the Gentiles. So he helped others. He was a help to others. Even those that traveled in, traveling preachers that came in, they were a help to them. Then look in verse 8 again. Here's the last thing. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Here's a blessing. John's saying, you know, when you are a help to a preacher,
understand what you are? You join in His work. That's what John's saying there. When these folks came, and you were a help to these traveling preachers when they came, you helped them out. You were a fellow helper of the truth. That means you join in on the blessings they get. That's something? Those people that are faithful to this church, you know what you are? You are a help to the pastor. You're a fellow helper of the truth. You join in, we join in together. You need me, but I need you. And we together are fellow helpers in the truth. What you do to help this ministry and what you do to be a help to this pastor, you're joining in the help. You're joining in my work, into my ministry. I could be a great preacher, but if I didn't have anybody to preach to, it wouldn't do any good. We could have, be a great soul winner, everything else. But if we didn't have folks in a church that were supporting the ministry and a help to the preacher, to the pastor, what they do is they join into His work and join into His blessings. Fellow helpers of the truth. And we need godly people like guys in the church who are a help to the pastor. They're there to help the pastor, be a help to him. And when they do that, they're fellow helpers in the work. They're joining into the work, into the ministry, that pastor. And that's what Gaius was, a member of the church. He was faithful to the truth. He was spiritual. He had a good testimony. He believed the truth. He lived the truth. He was a joy and comfort to John. He was faithful. He treated other church members properly. He was hospitable. He helped others. You know, part of John's work and also part of the pastor's work and the other leaders' work. He was hospitable to them also and took care of them. He joined in and became fellow helpers to the truth. That's the first of the members. I wish we could stop there. But there's another member also that's mentioned. Let's look at him. That's Diotrephes. The second member of the church that was mentioned is Diotrephes. First of all, he tells about Gaius and the blessing that Gaius was to him. But then he tells the sad part of the epistle. He tells of Diotrephes, another member of the church, who wouldn't even receive John's letters, wouldn't receive his authority, and was a hindrance to the work of God there in that local church. Let's look at some characteristics then of Diotrephes, verse 9. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Here's notice the first thing about Diotrephes. He wanted to be a big shot. That's what it says there in the Greek. Preeminence, big shot. You want to be a big shot. You wanted to have the preeminence. If he was a member of the church, buddy, he wanted everybody to know what a good Christian he was. He'd go around wearing a big banner saying, I'm a good Christian. That was the attribute. He wanted to run that church. He wanted to be in control of that church. He wanted, bless God, he wanted the people in that church he wanted there, and if he didn't like them, he didn't want them there. He didn't get along with the church members. He didn't get along with them. He kicked them out of the church. Tried to be a big shot. Tried to run the church. Wanted to have the preeminence. Wanted everybody patting the atrophies on the back saying, what a wonderful Christian you are. And that's the first thing. Secondly, he said in verse 9, who loveth to have the preeminence among them receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I'll remember his deeds which he doeth. Second thing is, he was a thorn in the flesh to God's man. He was a thorn in the flesh to God's man. Notice the difference now. Gaius was a fellow helper to the truth. He was a helper to the pastor. I mean, he tried to help the pastor, tried to help him with the truth, tried to help him in the ministry. Now here's Diotrephes. And all he wants to do is just cause problems. He wants to run the church. He wants to be in charge. He wants to make all the decisions. He wants to be the big shot. Born in the flesh to God's man. It's, by the way, you ought to seek to be a Gaius, not the Diotrephes. Seek to be a help to the church in the ministry, not a problem to the church. Come to church just so everybody can see what a wonderful Christian you are. Be there for the purpose of helping others to receive the truth, be a blessing. He was born in the flesh to God's man. Look at verse 10. He said, prating against us with malicious words. Next thing, he was wicked with his tongue. That wicked tongue, malicious, critical, backbiter. Find those that come up, man, they never have anything good to say. Always something bad.
Well, this guy, there's enough bad out there for all of us. Talk about good. How about the blood scenes? Glory to God, put the snow up, and but we still have folks there to hear the truth. Amen. Let's talk about the good. Talk about the blessings. That's what we need to do. We don't need to use our tongue for wicked things. We need to use our tongue to be critical, malicious, complaining. But Lord, we all got something to complain about. We need to learn not to complain. Complaining comes natural. Did you know that? That's part of the old natural flesh. We are born complaining. We're born crying, complaining. Mama, change my diaper. Mama, give me food. Mama, come and talk to me. We're born complaining. We need to learn not to complain. Just look at the good side. He was malicious. He was critical. He used malicious words against the man of God, against John. And then look at the last part of verse 10. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren. He wouldn't even. Now the Bible teaches before there, in 2 John, it tells us not to receive those that won't receive Christ. But it says, you better receive. Biddeth them that would, casteth them out of the church. It wasn't bad enough to kick the saved people out of the church. He wanted to kick those that wanted the saved people in the church. He wanted to kick them out too, the friends of the saved people that he didn't like. He wanted to kick them all out. He wanted to be in control. So man, they might outvote me in the next business meeting. You better get rid of them. That's the way Diotrephes was. It was a sort of discord among the brethren. Always causing problems. Paul or John writes to Gaius and says, Gaius, watch out for the dangers of Diotrephes. Watch out for him. Then there's those third kind of church member, verse 12, Demetrius. Notice a couple things about Demetrius in verse 12. Demetrius had a good report of all men. First thing, he had a good testimony. He had a good report of all men. Somebody came up and talked about Demetrius, they gave a good report of Demetrius. Secondly, verse 12. Yea, and we also bear record, and you know that our records are verse 12, and of the truth itself. Not only did he have a good testimony, but he walked in the truth too. He lived the truth. He had a good testimony, and he too walked in the truth. Now, you don't have a lot of report about Demetrius. You just have basically this. He's got a good testimony, and he lives the truth. He walks in the truth. He didn't have all the talents that Gaius had, but didn't cause any problems either. Just faithful, just walking the truth. He might have not been able to do all the things that Gaius could do, but he never caused any problems. He was just there, faithful. He didn't cause problems. He might not have been outgoing as Gaius was. He might have been just there and just sat in the pews and did what he could do. Never caused any problems, just faithful, 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 faithful. You need those kind of church members too. You need the Gaiuses. You need the Demetriuses. And you can do without the Diotrephes. What kind of church member are you? Are you a Gaius? Are you a Demetrius? Are you a Diotrephes? Every one of us ought to seek to be a Gaius or to be a Demetrius. To be a help. A help to the ministry. Faithful. Good testimony. Walking the truth. Just doing what's right to do. Notice the key word again. In 3 John is the word truth. Several times we've seen the word truth or true. The key word then is truth. But there's a second key word that's found in this epistle also. And that's the word found in verse 6. It says, which have borne witness. The word witness is the Greek word martyrio. Now here's how it's translated in the letter. Verse 3, it's translated the word testified. Verse 12, it's translated as the word report. It's also translated as the word bear record. And it's translated also in verse 12 as the word record. That's the word witness. That's the second key word. Found five times in the third epistle of John. Witness. Key word is truth. But another key word is the word witness.
witness the truth. Now, or think back with me now. We saw back in 2 John how important it is to know the truth. And every one of us need to know the truth. We need to know this book. We need to learn the Bible. We need to know what this Bible says. We can spend our lifetime learning the truth. Also, the thought I'd like to take up where somebody like D.L. Moody left off. Have all his knowledge and start from there. And still couldn't complete study of the Word of God. Start someplace like, if you knew everything that D.L. Moody knew and everything that R.A. Torrey knew when you started this life and studied all of your life, you still couldn't exhaust the Word of God. We need to know the Bible, know the truth. Not only do we need to know the truth, but we also need to live the truth. How important it is to live the truth. But think of this. If you know all truth and lived all truth and died, what good would your life be? Unless you witness or share the truth. That's the word witness there. Bear record. Report. Share. We saw how important it is to know the truth, how important it is to live the truth. Now in 3 John, I want you to know how important it is to share the truth. That's the theme of the book. Sharing the truth. Sharing the truth. Before we can share, we've got to know and live it. But if you know it and you're living it, you better share it. That's our purpose on this earth. If we know the truth, we need to get the truth out. We need to share the truth and love God with others. Share the truth. Well, that's the study of 3 John. Theocrates, Gaius, and Demetrius. The theme of the book is sharing the truth. And let's pray.